Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Hello and welcome to the latest episode from your beloved Fan Critical. And this week we are looking to the future. Ooh. Spooky, spooky.
Is that the name of the show? Is that what we're calling it?
We have no name for the show. This is like a Fan Critical catch-up because we have a gap in our schedule before some big films come out. Mm. And we figure we haven't done one of these this year, which is something we always enjoy doing, which is a preview of what we are excited to see in 2022.
We're going back to the shows about the future. So let's call it...
Back to the future.
Back to the shows in the future.
Very good. That voice is Gareth. He's joining me this week in the absence of the other three.
Hello.
Lemmings, who couldn't be here this week. They've all followed each other off a cliff. Gareth. But yeah, we're here and we're the most important ones, if anything. So don't worry about them.
Correct. OG members.
Yeah, the OGs. 2022, not been off to the greatest start in terms of just the human race, really. So what better way, Gareth, to, you know, if you can, a form of escapism, if you will, look ahead to some TV that we might be excited to see, and some films. What are your hopes for this year?
I won't go into it yet. Don't worry. I understand the format.
Yeah.
Do you know? Anything at the moment to avoid having the news on. So I told you this the other day. My wife and I are actually. It's bizarre, out of nowhere, we're watching Entourage, which, in a lot of ways, is a show that, like, just wouldn't exist. It wouldn't be made today. The world has come quite a distance.
Too far.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah.
It's escapism of the highest order. That is, like, ultimate escapism, especially if you're a 14-year-old boy. So,
correct.
You know... That Entourage, when I was a kid, bloody brilliant show. Now, when I look back at it, I go, ooh, I don't know, some of this stuff okay?
But
who knows?
You know what? My wife, who is not a 14-year-old boy, just to clarify, absolutely loves it.
Well,
33-year-old woman. She loves it. So that's
that is good.
Well,
isn't that lovely?
I feel like it says more about her, to be honest.
Right. So the idea of this show is we're going to list... things that we think are going to be highlights of the year, okay? And when we say highlights of the year, we mean for us personally, because obviously there might be some better things out there, some more prestige things out there. Not the film The Prestige, because bloody hell, that is top notch. But I mean things that we might potentially cover, whether it be a weekly format that we cover it in, or whether it's just a one-off review. And these are things that we've sort of, as a group, discussed. As sort of with a highlighter pen, we've marked them and we've said, hey, we might come on to this year. This is something we could actually cover. So I'm going to kick things off, Gareth, with something that I know is dear to everyone's hearts in the podcast, and something we actually have never had the privilege of discussing on the podcast. References to this franchise, series, novels, sometimes do crop up. Mainly Lucy will bring it up every now and then. She bloody loves it.
Despicable Me.
It is, of course, Despicable Me 4. No, I'm joking. Yeah. This is Lord of the Rings. And
oh, yeah, I've heard of that one.
Yeah, you've heard of that one, yeah. Amazon obviously bought the rights to essentially produce a Lord of the Rings serialized show. Now... when this was first announced, which I think was about 3 years ago, it's one of the most expensive shows ever made. The rights cost a lot of money as well. And it is upon us. 2022 is the year in which we will see the Rings of Power, which has now been revealed. There has been a short 1 minute teaser.
Haven't you ever wondered what else is out there? There's wonders in this world beyond our wandering.
Also been a sort of really cool title announcement where they actually, if you've seen this, listeners, it's the one where it says Rings of Power and they're basically forging it. They pour like the molten steel into the formation of the title, which says Rings of Power. And at the time you watch it and you kind of sit there and go, that's amazing animation. And then they actually released a 2 minute making of video. It's incredible. It's real. The whole thing's real. And they used like real in-depth lenses and tracking movements to get these amazing cinematic flair on this title. And when that was announced, you know, I'm very excited. And then, you know, I think for us as a group to be passionate about something as Lord of the Rings, we love our historical we love our
documentaries
documentaries about history.
Yeah, we are a big fan.
Are you excited for this one, Gareth, to delve back into the fantasy realm?
Of course.
Together.
Of course. But yeah, I mean, anything medieval fantasy is just, it's just like it's made for us, isn't it? You know, we sort of, I feel like as a podcast we kind of veered off into primarily dealing with Marvel, and you know, there's a place for that.
Yeah.
But that's not what we're built on. Those aren't our foundations.
No.
Stuff like this.
No, we'll talk.
Mm. Yeah, but all right, yeah.
Well, we'll talk about more foundations later about, you know,
group of course.
As a whole.
Of course. Mm.
But yeah, this is what we know about the Rings of Power, Gareth. This is what we
go on.
We know it takes place in the Second Age, okay? Lord of the Rings, for anyone who doesn't know, is split up into four ages, okay? There's the creation of everything, the First Age. Then there's the Second Age. The Third Age is where the end of the Third Age is where Lord of the Rings takes place, and the Fellowship, the Hobbit, blah, blah, blah. And the Fourth Age is when, spoiler warning, Aragorn becomes king, and there's hopefully peace and prosperity.
Well, he kicks off the Fourth Age, doesn't he? It's like, oh, yeah, welcome to a new age.
Welcome to a new age. And that is how it ends in the many, many scenes in the epilogue on Return of the King. Now, we know this one takes place in the Second Age. And this is, the Second Age is important because it is where all of the rings were forged. Okay, so there's 20 rings of power, 3 for elves, 7 for dwarves, 9 for mortal men, and 1 for Sauron. So this series is primarily going to focus on the forging of those rings. You're going to see characters like Elrond, Galadriel, who had rings at the time. You'll potentially see Gandalf, potentially. It's difficult to say because there's a lot of rumors. He wasn't really around in the Second Age. It's difficult, but there's rumors that he might be there because it's such a big draw, obviously, for an audience.
Yeah.
But we're going to see the epic tale of Numenor and the last alliance of elves and men, which is, if you remember, kind of how the first film, The Fellowship of the Ring, opens with that huge battle and the alliance of men and elves taking on Sauron in Mordor, okay? And Isildur and blah, 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 blah.
Yeah.
So it's going for stuff where we know the outcome, which I always worry about because it's, and this comes on to another show we'll talk about later, but you kind of know everything. or at least you think you know everything. You know what I mean? It's written.
Well, it has been written. There's a thing. I mean, people used to say that ahead of the Star Wars, like, prequels.
Prequels, yes.
And at the time, people were excited, not to find out, not to find out what happened, but how it happens. Yep. And
no, I was really excited, Gareth, to see all of the trade implications and the trade blockades.
That's because you're a fucking loser. But
no,
let's,
obviously, but I wasn't.
Let's be fair. I think maybe everybody and sort of, you know, culture as a whole has been burnt by those prequels, and we're maybe a lot more cynical about going into something like this. If this is done well, and you know, some things like not including Gandalf would probably be a good call. But if it's done well, it could be amazing. Just the chance to go back to this universe and to see again, not necessarily what happened, although I would also say that there are lots of people who would be really into this that don't necessarily know like what exactly happens. They might know, you know, that certain people survived, I guess.
But yeah, they know the general beats, but they don't know the intricacies and how they got there.
Yeah,
I mean, and to be honest with you, I'm a massive Lord of the Rings fan, and my knowledge of that era is patchy. I've read a few things. I've read The Silmarillion, which is a huge book that details a bit of the First Age, the Second Age, and was released after Lord of the Rings, I believe. So fills in some gaps, but it's been a long time since I've read it, and I'm sure they're going to take some creative license with some of these characters as well, because they can.
Yep.
You know what I mean? A lot of the texts around that time aren't set in stone. Their interpretations. A lot of Tolkien's work wasn't necessarily finished either. It was pieced together posthumously after his death.
Just give Gandalf like a massive motorbike or something.
Let's ride. Just puts his shades down and off he goes. So I think this is a show that we're going to love watching as a group. Mm. And I also think it's one we might cover week to week. Luckily, Amazon sticks to a week-to-week format, which makes podcasting a lot easier for us anyway, because things like Stranger Things on Netflix and stuff like that has been really tough for us before, because it's just out all at once. It's a real problem.
Yeah.
There's no way we can keep the discussion going for long enough with a show like that, because everyone has finished talking about it in 2 weeks, you know, whereas something drawn out is much better. So I think this is one we could definitely cover week to week, don't you think?
Let's do it.
Oh, let's do it. You heard it here first. I mean, look, Lucy's going to be over the moon. So she'll be doing just maybe a solo podcast on it. That me and Gaz can chip in.
Yeah, I mean, I'm saying let's do it. I'm by no means committing myself 100% full time to this. So by let's do it, I mean, Lucy, do it and have a great time. And sometimes will be there as well.
Well, that's The Rings of Power, Amazon 2022, slated for, I would say, autumn 2022. Autumn for you Northern Hemisphere people. Gareth Wright, ooh, next thing on the list.
Speaking of Northern Hemisphere people.
Oh, Northern Hemisphere people. Go on then.
I'm gonna bring a movie to the table. And it's set very much in the Northern Hemisphere. It's set in Iceland. And it's the new Robert Eggers movie, The Northman.
How I've missed you, my son. One day this kingdom will be yours.
Thank you, Father. My king.
Killing your father.
such a hellish place.
To find what was stolen from me.
And what is that?
The kingdom. You must choose between kindness for your kin or hate for your enemies.
Your strength breaks men's bones. I have the cunning to break their minds.
And night by night, we will carry out my pledge of vengeance.
I will avenge you, Father.
I will avenge you, Father.
I will save you, Mother.
I will save you, Mother.
I will kill you, Father.
Which looks...
looks good, this.
Fucking cool. So
it looks fucking
this
cool.
This is a bit weird. Like, it's written by Robert Eggers, but also, like, a poet, an Icelandic poet. I think he's a sort of a novelist as well. But, I feel like it's going to have proper Icelandic roots to it. It's gonna really tap into that, which would be awesome. But
it's quite a Macbethian type story. Shakespearean.
Very, very Shakespearean. Would it be Hamlet?
Hamlet,
I think. Yeah. The story is probably most similar to. I'm not great with my Shakespeare, but I think this is a Hamletian story. So it's essentially just a very, very brief synopsis. It's set sort of 10th century Iceland, I think. And we've got a little young Viking prince who essentially is there when his father is killed, and he has to run away and flee and go into hiding. And then I guess the majority of the film is once he's grown up from being this skinny little boy into this fucking massive Viking.
Played by Skarsgård.
Played
which one?
By
I hear you ask.
Well, I can tell you the answer to that.
The buff one,
which is Alexander Skarsgård.
Alexander Skarsgård shares a great name with myself.
Yes, Skarsgård.
He's a great actor, and he's had some unfortunate roles. And when I say that, he's had these opportunities to make big breaks. I mean, in True Blood, I think he's fantastic as Eric, like one of the standout characters of that show before it went to shit. But he was also Tarzan in the sort of failed Tarzan.
Yeah, he did some stupid things.
Reboot that happened.
It was in that. It was in that fucking. Is it Battleship? That was the movie, wasn't
maybe.
It?
Maybe. Like, I didn't see that shit.
But like stupid films like that, and like Godzilla versus Kong, and like just these massive big explodey movies, you know.
He's ripped as though, and he's perfect for this sort of role because he is obviously of Nordic descent. And the thing that if you haven't seen the trailer for this film, guys, just type in The Northman.
So the thing with the trailer, right? So basically he comes back and it's a revenge mission for Alexander Skarsgård.
Yeah.
But the thing with the trailer is it felt... So I'm very much getting the sense that it's not as bizarre and weird as Robert Eggers' other films,
which are The Lighthouse and The Witch,
both of which are fantastic. I'd love both of those films, but they're very, very creepy and disturbing movies.
Mm.
This doesn't quite have the same vibe, but it still has. Even in the trailer, you get this sense like. There's a very Eggersian. I'm gonna put that forward as a verb, Eggersian type of shot.
Eggersian.
Let's go with Eggersian. That sounds good. It's like a shot of somebody kind of looking directly at the camera, and like they're shrouded in darkness and just sort of saying lines with like great sort of emphasis and
yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like weird shot.
He uses supernatural elements very well in his films, but in a way that is like it. Even in a film like The Witch, and this is no spoiler, you see a character in the first few minutes of The Witch. You don't see them, but you see them in commas. that's the witch. Okay, so you know there's supernatural elements at play, but the whole time
that's why they call it that.
Yeah, the whole time you watch that film, you're like doubting it. You're like, is this actually happening? Like, is this in their heads? And then with The Lighthouse, you've got the same situation. It's a very psychological, fucked up film where you're constantly like, what the fuck is going on here? Like, and you're constantly questioning everything. And I think this is going to be, I don't want to say Shakespearean again, because obviously there are some supernatural elements in Shakespeare, especially with things like Macbeth and the witches and blah, blah, blah. And it feels to me like this is going to be, yes, a revenge story, but it's going to be fucking creepy. And there's going to be some Nordic sort of mysticism in there. And it's going to be fucked up. And it's going to be amazing. The cinematography looks incredible. It looks... The first time I saw 300 or trailer for 300, I was like, wow, I've never seen cinematography like that before. And then with this, I'm not saying it's like 300. It's just got the same effect of like an epic... epic revenge and war story, which has cinematography that I've never seen before. So I'm really interested to see it. And I don't think we have to wait long. Is it April? I think it might be April.
Yeah, it's coming, I think, April, end of April, I think, yeah.
So we'll 100% review that. I mean, I know we didn't review The Witch and we didn't review The Lighthouse because unfortunately there was a delayed release here in Australia. But we will 1,000,000% be reviewing that, The Northman. By Robert Eggers.
Some good Rotten Tomatoes latest. Results there. Go on. 1,000,000%.
Oh, yeah.
But yeah,
Maximum Reviews.
It's more, that's better than Maximum Reviews, in a way. But yeah, look, the other way of looking at it is that it's The Lion King in Iceland, isn't it?
Yeah, and Iceland, as you know, I've been, Gareth. It's a fucking cool place. You're very jealous of that, aren't you?
Jealous of my little
Iceland trip.
Yeah.
And the other thing that you mentioned about it being written by an Icelandic poet is the thing that artists from Iceland do really well, whether it's music, literature, other forms of poetry and novels.
You're about to say music really, again, weren't you? Music, yeah, literature, music
again. I literally was. I was thinking like Bjork. I was like, music again.
Music.
Cigarettes. And Bjork's in this, by the way. Bjork's in this, by the way.
Yeah.
What I find fascinating about them is they always tie whatever they're writing down to their landscape, because the landscape in Iceland is so fantastic and the history, it's just otherworldly, and that really comes through in a lot of stuff that they do. So I hope that comes through in this movie, and I hope they really capture the essence of Iceland because it looks fucking awesome.
And if not, there are characters in it called things like Thorvaldur Giant Crusher. Which, you know,
that's what you want.
That's what you want.
And that's very, speaking of giant crushes.
There you go. We are segueing between these people.
We are. These are some good segues. Let's talk about something that started this podcast.
Despicable Me.
Yes, Gru was a fan favorite amongst all of us. No, Game of Thrones. Now, anyone who is a long-time listener will know that this podcast started its very humble roots in my bedroom with the five of us gathered around my bed.
Well, I wasn't.
Very, very pissed. That sounds like it's going somewhere. Talking about Game of Thrones. Season 7 of Game of Thrones, I believe.
Yeah, we jumped in where every good podcast does. Season 7.
Yeah, well, we just thought, fuck it, guys, should we do a podcast? And then we started talking about something that we're incredibly passionate about, and that is Game of Thrones. If you haven't heard those first episodes, it's worth it, guys, for an absolute laugh. Obviously, everything's on iTunes and Spotify. Scroll back to episode 1. The audio quality, I apologize. We were literally crowded around my bed, as I said, with one microphone.
I was Skyping in.
Yeah, Gaz was Skyping in from Australia. And we were talking about Game of Thrones. And you'll hear that we're a bit pissed a lot. And we're just talking like mates. And that is essentially how this podcast started, and it's really fun. So go check all of our Game of Thrones content out if you want a good laugh. But we were extremely passionate about that.
Mm.
And it's not over, Gareth. It's coming back. Now, we thought that when we saw the finale of Game of Thrones, and look, it's very divisive. If you listen to our coverage of season 8 of Game of Thrones, first three episodes we're ecstatic. Last three episodes, bordering on flipping the table, rage, especially the finale. Definitely we're book purists over the show. So I kind of feel that we felt a little betrayed by the ending, even though we don't know it yet because the book's still out. Thank you, George.
At
this
least,
is mental.
At least the show managed to finish it, even if it was dreadful.
Yeah, yeah. But I hope that the series is remembered for the true ending, which I don't think will be too different, but at least we'll get some better context and a bit better
reasoning
lead up to the end. Reasoning, lead up, and general, like, it takes time. It doesn't just get rushed out the door. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? But we have been treated to the fact that HBO, because Game of Thrones was the biggest success in its history and probably the biggest global show of all time, they greenlit several writers, including George, who is involved with multiple of these projects.
Can you just write the books, please, George?
Yeah, exactly. To come up with several different ideas for spin-off shows. Now,
Jon Snow working at Walmart. There's one of Arya going to college. That's a good one.
Oh God, wherever she's gone, across the sea.
Melisandre going on holiday. There's one of her going to the beach. That's a good episode as well.
George was involved in one that was actually, they shot a pilot for it. It was called The Long Night, and it focused on the Age of Heroes, roughly 10,000 years before the events of Game of Thrones. People like Bran the Builder, these legendary heroes who originally fought off the White Walkers the first time, which I thought would actually be really cool because there'd be lots of magic, these legendary heroes, the starting of the Night's Watch. There's some really cool elements in there. Unfortunately, HBO watched the pilot episode, which had some fantastic talent attached to it, actors and actresses. And they binned it, Gareth. They said, nope, don't want to finance that anymore. They spent like $10 million on that episode, dollars. And they said, nah, we're not going to do this series anymore.
Why?
So they moved on. Who knows? Maybe they felt it was too similar to the show that had just happened, because it's the same threat, and you know the outcome.
I think that makes sense, actually.
I mean, look, so what they did is they shifted focus and they have announced, filmed the whole thing now, the whole season, not just the pilot, released a trailer for Game of Thrones, House of the Dragon. This is going to involve a lot of special effects. The budget is a huge, because this is about, George R. R. Martin's book, Fire and Blood. It is the history of House Targaryen, okay? Which is fascinating, Gareth. It is genuinely fascinating. And let's be honest, House Targaryen, along with the Starks, is the coolest of all of the houses, easily.
Yes, they
get to ride
dragons.
They're dragon riders. So the reason we're really
passionate
about this,
I do quite like the Tullys. They have a fish.
They have a fish. Ah, the Freys are my favourite. They've got some towers.
Towers.
Useless. Shit, bridge. There are some fucking useless houses that you never even see in the show, but we'll get onto that later. But this is really exciting because we actually know a lot of the lore that this is going to be, turning to. So this is 300-ish years before the events of Game of Thrones. It's going to cover major battles like the Dance of Dragons, the Targaryen Civil War, which is fucking awesome. It's literally dragon warfare in the sky. It's crazy, right? You've got the Doom of Valyria, which sees basically a lot of...
I don't know how they're going to do this. The Doom of Valyria, like the way that it's spoken about in the books.
Oh, yes. It's crazy.
It's chaos.
It's like when the dinosaurs got hit by a meteor. It feels like that, you know what I mean? And it's basically, Valyria is where the Targaryens come from. They are a house within the Valyrian society. But they actually leave and head to Dragonstone. So we'll probably see Dragonstone again, Gareth, I'm sure. We're going to have amazing dragons. And to put this in context, a dragon like Beleriand the Dread, which is going to be one of the key dragons in this show, is about 6 or 7 times the size of Drogon.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
And Drogon's sizable.
He's a big one. But Beleriand the Dread, if you remember Game of Thrones, was the big skull that they kept in the catacombs underneath that they kept walking past every now and then. So the scope of this is huge. And the thing that's really fascinating to me about it is just, like we said, we know these events, and a lot of Game of Thrones people will know these events, but there's going to be so much backstabbing. There's going to be, you know, your politics involved, your warmongering involved, all the things that we love the show for, plus dragons. And when I say dragons, it's not 3 dragons this time. I think there's going to be something like 16 to 20 dragons in this show. That's fascinating. That's awesome.
Yeah, it's very cool. I think there's some good talent attached to it as well, but like sort of like big British TV talent, if you know what I mean.
Matt Smith,
like Matt Smith,
Doctor Who himself,
Olivia Cooke, the Queen herself, Paddy Considine's in it. So there's some great actors in there. You're right. Like this stuff. I think the story here is awesome, and it's hinted at a lot in the Song of Ice and Fire books. But also, if you've ever read the
Duncan Egg,
the Duncan and Egg stories,
the Hedge Knight.
That's a bit kind of closer in time. And there's a lot of references to stuff that's going to be happening here.
I'm interested to know whether they're going to, you know, how many series they see this being, whether they see it being, you know, the Doom of Valyria at the start and like High Valyria, then moving to, you know, the invasion of Westeros, and basically dominating, you know, Torrhen Stark bending the knee, all of this sort of stuff that we know happens for the Targaryens to become the rulers of the Seven Kingdoms. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And then they go into the Targaryen Civil War.
Yes.
You know, the Blackfyre Rebellion.
The Blackfyre Rebellion.
Now, yeah, so there's so much good stuff in there.
Yeah.
Like, just... The politics of the other houses, like, you know, the Starks, the Lannisters, the Baratheons, who get forged by essentially being with Targaryens and stuff. Like, the history of the houses is fantastic and so interesting. So I'm really excited. And I know that as a group, we could not be more excited about covering sort of a world and a universe with these characters in.
I mean, if we were to pick anything that could come out for us to cover, it would be more Song of Ice and Fire,
Game of Thrones
yeah. world stuff. Like that's what we want. I really want the Hedge Knight to be made, but that's a way smaller budget.
Kind
of show.
So this is one of, as I said, I think 4 other prequel series being, or series, not necessarily a prequel, being written, currently, and they are being written concurrently. Hedge Knight is 100% one of those that is being written. So whether or not it gets the green light, I think this show is going to be really important to see if the world of Westeros can grow, you know, because it had Game of Thrones, had a bit of a damp ending that people were very lukewarm to. It's been 3 years now, 2 years, it's fizzled out. You know, can this recapture people's imagination? If it does, then I can see more of these shows, you know, being released. George R. R. Martin has actually said he's seen the pilot and said it's fantastic and one of the closest things that he can think of to what he'd written, which is interesting and I think good.
Well, it is because he's been honest in the past. Like, he has said, this is a bit shit.
He didn't like the ending.
Yeah. So
he didn't like the way that, yeah.
So I think, you know, he would tell us if he didn't like it. He would tell us specifically, Gaz and Len, I don't like it.
And his episodes that he's written are always some of the highlights of each season. And towards the end, he wasn't writing.
Yeah, exactly.
Any episodes. And you could tell.
You could tell.
Like, the episodes where he was heavily involved, there was dialogue literally lifted from his pages, but just slightly tweaked, and it made perfect sense, and everything was concurrent, and it was, the characters had motivations, and it made sense. When, you know, Benioff and Weiss went off on their own, they could create some very interesting things, and some scenes I really enjoyed that they created. But when they started getting towards the end, and they just like, I just need to get this done, any subtlety went out the window. And a lot of these characters were making absolutely ludicrous decisions that we could not believe in the time span for them to change from their other decisions. It made no sense.
Well, and the other kind of quick thing that's a big difference here is that the ending already exists for whoever wants to make this. Like, it's
you know how it ends.
You know how it ends, which is, that's a thing that's come up a bit today. But it, given how Game of Thrones went and ended, given their lack of direction from the original text, this is probably, yeah, it's a good change. It's a good thing in this case.
Yeah. No more guessing games. There will be twists and turns, and there's a lot of politics involved. But at least, like you said, we're not going to be left. I don't think we'll be left disappointed with this one. I think, if anything, people's enthusiasm for the world might just not be there anymore. However, I feel like if it captures the essence of Westeros again, and those geopolitics and everything with the houses and dragons now, I think we're in for a really good show. So I'm really excited to cover it with you guys again on a weekly drunk. And I think we just get back on the booze for this one. Just let it devolve into chaos again, like it used to.
Gather, as I said, around my bed this time.
Yeah. And if you haven't heard those early episodes and you want a treat to see where this podcast came from, go check out episodes like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. All those ones, terrible audio quality, I apologize. But as I said, bloody good content, in my opinion. And I love listening to them every now and then just to see where we've come from. Because it is funny, man. Like, John's pissed all the time. You should listen to him.
And angry.
Sham. Oh, he's pissed. Well, he's pissed and happy when it's a good episode, but when he's angry, God, you'll know about it. So, yeah. All right, Gareth, what's your second thing that you bring in to the table here for 2022?
There's a lot to choose from. There's some stuff coming out this year. But let's talk about another film. Yeah? Or nope?
Yay. Or nope.
We're going to talk about Nope.
We're going to talk about Nope.
Did you know that the very first assembly of photographs to create a motion picture was a 2-second clip of a black man on a horse? And that man is my great-great-grandfather.
Great.
There's another great-grandfather. But that's why back at the Haywood Ranch, as the only black-owned horse trainers in Hollywood, we like to say, since the moment pictures could move, yeah, skin in the game.
We'll be right back.
was a bare miracle. They got a word for that.
So Nope is the unusually named film, or next film by Jordan Peele.
I love the name.
Do you? I don't, but I also, because it doesn't bother me, but
I imagine that it's said like this, like, nope.
Yeah.
Going near that.
Yeah. I noped out of there for sure. Like, that's absolutely what it's about. Yeah. But, it's not particularly evocative though, is it? Like, it doesn't.
I think it is.
Okay. Makes it sound silly. Don't you think?
But Jordan Peele's got he's quite silly in a way. It's silly horror, but it's good. You know what I mean?
I know what you mean.
So many silly elements.
I know what you mean. Yeah. And it almost like Get Out is a bit of a silly name as well. So yeah. But look, I'm not here to critique the film. I'm here because I'm excited about the film, actually. I don't know how much you know about this, but it seems to have been shrouded in a lot of mystery, and deliberately not a lot has been given away about it. Essentially, it's set somewhere in a southern state somewhere.
On a ranch.
Yeah.
Really cool.
Which is a cool setting. So it's like a small town, America. And there is some kind of supernatural or abnormal event that seems to be originating aliens. In the sky.
I think it's aliens.
All right. Well, okay.
That's my guess.
Aliens.
Sorry. Aliens did it. No, I just think, if you guys look at the trailer, I think to me, alien invasion sort of thing, like Signs, but on steroids, is kind of what I'm thinking. But who knows? It could be way off. Jordan Peele has fooled me many a time.
Yeah. I mean, I just think, again, just in the trailer, there's some brilliant sort of cinematography or like style that's in there. Like, there's this feature, this theme of those like wavy inflatable arm.
Yeah, man. I love it.
And I know.
Get your wavy inflatable arm, man, right now.
And they just keep appearing in this trailer, like they keep popping up, and it's bizarre, and it's so like weird and uncanny and creepy, and I have no idea like how significant they're going to be. But they also make an appearance on like the big poster for the film as well, so I feel like they're going to be there for, you know, visual purposes. But yeah, I want to know what they do. What are they doing? What are they doing in there? The creepy little inflatable arm.
Having a great
things.
Time. Having a great time.
always, no matter what.
Nah, I'm really excited for this film. If it's aliens, I'm buzzing because I love anything with aliens. Like, I'm just a sucker for sci-fi, especially fucked up weird sci-fi. But I love Jordan Peele's filmmaking. I don't think Us is as good as Get Out. And some people will argue to the ends of the earth that it's better. I think they're wrong. I think Us had so many good things going for it, and it is weird. But for me, it fell a bit flat at times, and it didn't live up to my weird expectations.
I agree. I think
amazing
Us,
trailer that was released.
Us has like some moments in it that are phenomenal, and like some little visual moments in particular that I'm like, this is so good. And probably it has better individual moments than Get Out, but Get Out is a far more coherent film as a whole.
Get Out, you know, I rewatch that quite a lot. I think it's creepy, but it's got some really weird funny moments in it. It's got society, some really good commentary in it. Like, it's just a great film and a horror done in a way that we hadn't necessarily seen before. And that's what I like about Jordan Peele, you know, his reversion of the Candyman. You know, I like the way the guy does horror. It's very good. You know, I didn't love the Twilight Zone stuff, but there's moments in there, like most Twilight Zone episodes. There's moments where you're like, that's a cool episode. But he's got something. Like, people who say he's overrated, I think, are way wrong. I think he definitely brings a whole fresh perspective to the genre and creates his own sort of genre in a way, because some of this stuff is just bizarre.
Well, he comes from a comedy background, doesn't he? Like, and
I love Key and Peele. They crack me up so much.
But this is the point. Like, I think you can see that influence. Not that it's like, it's not that it's comedy horror, but it's just like, there are certain ways of like framing and the way that sort of suspense pays off. It's almost like it's a punchline, yeah. if you know what yeah. I mean. Rather than it being a build up to a jumpy moment, a jump scare. It's not like that. You're right. It brings a fresh perspective to a genre that needs more fresh perspectives. There are a few people doing that.
I think horror is in a good place at the moment. I think there's enough going on with streaming services like Shudder and the sort of independent horror that's been made, with our boy Ari Aster doing, you know, psychological fucked up horror, with analog horror that you've mentioned on this podcast before, and young inspiring filmmakers doing that, and also with Jordan Peele. I think horror is in a fantastic place at the moment. It's definitely not stagnant.
I think you have to look for it, though. That's the thing, because it's still, if you just go mainstream horror, if you put in horror films, you're going to get the usual, and it's going to be saturated by typical jump scary films like that.
You know what I told you? You know, mainstream, mass public horrors, you know? Quiet Place 2, for example, but that is actually a very good film that has a lot of heart. But that's what we mean. But yeah, I think horror is in a good place. And I really am excited to see this film. We'll definitely review it on the podcast, so don't worry, everyone. That's a good one, Gareth. I like that. Hopefully it's aliens. So if it is,
I hope it's brilliant. A giant wavy inflatable arm, man.
Could be like in Rick and Morty, like show me what you got, giant head.
Something
comes in.
Isn't
and then
that like
get swifty?
Doesn't that concept terrify you? Like something of like a planetary scale appearing in the sky.
Oh, yeah,
that's
what have we covered this year, Gareth? That had that in it.
Rick and Morty.
No, Eternals. When Ashram turns up, the Celestial.
Oh God, how could I have forgotten Eternals?
How could you have forgotten that totally forgettable movie?
But you're right. Anyway. Like, if there was anything to remember, it is that the like giant scale things.
The visual was cool.
But yeah,
I'm going to give some honorable mentions to things that are on our radar. This is what I like. You know, this is, if you imagine a radar going around, these are popping up as little dots. Beep 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 beep.
Stranger Things.
And that, well, obviously we have covered Stranger Things in the past, Gareth. Do I think we'll cover Stranger Things in the same way again? Probably not. Do I think we will do a Stranger Things one episode review for season 4? Probably, because I feel that Netflix screw us over by releasing it all at once. So yes, I would say that we're excited for Stranger Things.
Oh well, I am.
I would
also say that
I think it's petered out. I think the enthusiasm of Stranger Things, even though season 3 was great, it's been so long now, obviously because of COVID and whatnot. I will get excited again when I watch it. I know I will. But right now, excitement level is pretty low on that one, Gareth, I'd have to say. And I reckon the rest of the team would probably agree with me.
All right, well, I'll do that one. Lucy can do Lord of the Rings and I'll do Stranger Things.
Okay. All right, good. Good to know. I'll put you down for that one. Writing it down right now. I've got here a couple of shows which I've talked about on the show before, The Boys.
Oh, yeah.
Now, if you're sick of superhero stuff, and yes, the Batman is coming out, and yes, it is getting amazing reviews, and yes, we are going to be reviewing it. I'll get onto that at the end of the podcast about why that review is going to be slightly delayed. Turns out that superhero stuff isn't dead, guys, because there are fun and interesting ways to tackle a very tired, tired genre. If you want the most fun, disgusting, sort of real look at superheroes, you need to watch The Boys. Brilliant, brilliant show. Funny, well-written, gory as fuck, crazy characters. Basically, superheroes are like this corporation that get rented out to different states and companies, and they have profile. And it's just a great way of looking at the superhero genre. And season three comes out this year. So binge season one, binge season two. I guarantee you will not be disappointed. If you like Marvel and you like DC and all that stuff, and a lot of our listeners do, please check out The Boys. You haven't watched it, have you, Gareth?
I watched the first two episodes a while ago.
Okay.
It was good.
You're gonna watch episode 3 and 4?
Yeah, one day.
You just give up?
One day.
Okay. You just give up on a show after two episodes?
Well, I had to start watching The Crown, so...
Oh my God. This is what I have to deal with here. You'll be the death of this podcast, you will. All right.
Not when The Crown season 5 comes out. I'll be...
Oh dear. We're not covering that. I tell that, listeners. We are not covering that. Halo, Gareth. You got any interest in Halo?
I do. Even though I'm not, an Xbox kid, I'm still interested to see how this goes. I have fond memories of being, 13 years old and playing multiplayer with you.
With us, yeah. Some kids back home.
Yeah, those are fun times.
Oh, unbelievable. Like, Halo is an amazing game, and the lore and the universe that Halo exists within is extensive and brilliant. Just the general
extensive
storytelling.
And brilliant. That's on the poster.
Nice. Five bloobs. Yeah, no, maximum reviews. So I'm excited to see where this goes, because there's been rumors of a show for a very long time. It's never happened. It's finally happening. The trailer looked very good. Master Chief looked very cool. So even got Cortana in there. I think this is about how they find the Halo ring, which is taking the lore quite back to the original, which is really good. So I'm excited. I think this show could be good. That's going to be on Paramount Plus, which I also have subscribed to these days for Yellow Jackets. But now I'm holding on to it for Halo. So that's good. I have too many subscriptions. We've been through this too many times. I really need to sort that out.
Can you just send me your login details, please? And
nope. No. Nope. Nope. See what I did there? Ooh. Yeah.
Good then.
Good. And finally, just want to talk about Obi-Wan, which me and John have talked about recently on the Book of Boba Fett. It's coming out May 25th. Gareth, I think they missed a trick by not bringing it out May 4th, didn't you?
I mean, why? Like, if you're gonna bring it
why
out,
why didn't they do that?
Just
yeah, well, I don't know why they
can
didn't
we,
do
can
that.
Can we do this? Can we do this 3 weeks earlier? Nope.
Nope. Nope. Surely episode one's ready by then. Do you know what I mean? Like, not the Phantom Menace. I mean, episode one of Obi-Wan.
Yeah, that's good.
But like, I'm buzzing for this. I know you haven't seen the Book of Boba Fett yet, but after watching that, yeah, I'm just so excited to see Ewan McGregor back as Obi-Wan. Fighting Darth Vader at the height of his powers. It's going to be amazing, guys. Like, just absolutely mind-boggling.
Is he going to be singing Elton John covers while he does it? You can tell everybody. Zoom, zoom. It's just...
Is that
Ewan McGregor?
That a meme, is it?
Moulin Rouge. No?
Ah, yeah. No, I love Moulin Rouge. Yeah, good point.
There you go.
You could do it. There could be singing involved, Gareth. Some of the best shows of all time have had a musical episode. Scrubs, Buffy, next,
right.
Bring on Obi-Wan.
Some of the best shows of all time. Scrubs and Buffy.
Scrubs.
I mean, they're good shows.
Scrubs,
they're good shows.
One of the best comedies of all time. Buffy Vampire Slayer is easily one of the best shows of all time, Gareth. Come on.
This is such, I mean, I don't know. This is you, isn't it? Everything's the best show.
Correct. I am the hype man. And there's no John here to rein me in.
No.
So I got carte blanche.
Let you go wild.
Turn mental. Exactly. Feral, if you will. So yeah, Obi-Wan, Disney, May 25th, not May the 4th. Crying shame. Absolutely crying shame. So Gareth, I was going to talk about The Last of Us, but unfortunately, that's been delayed-ish to 2023, I believe. Now, look, guys, if The Last of Us HBO show comes out in 2022, we are on it like Sonic. That is something that gets me
Sonic.
Very
Sonic 2.
Excited. Yeah, Sonic 2. But yeah, Last of Us probably going to be 2023, early 2023. So we'll probably be doing that year. That's it. That's our preview. So we've got The Rings of Power, Game of Thrones, House of the Dragon, Nope, The Northman, The Boys, Season 3, Halo, and Obi-Wan. They are our hot picks for 2022. Not a bad selection, I think.
Season 4.
I do say, Stranger Things, which I am not very excited for, but probably will be very soon. Anything else, Gareth? You happy with that list?
I think that's a comprehensive list. Yeah, no, very, very happy
with
that.
Pretty comprehensive. That's going to take up a lot of our time.
Yeah, I haven't got time for anything else, so definitely nothing else to add. No.
Definitely don't add anything to that list. So, guys, let's talk about our big review coming up in a few weeks' time of The Batman. Early reviews are in. Looks good, guys. Looks good. Unfortunately, me and Gareth have to
we're on hiatus.
Yeah, we have to cuddle each other for a few weeks.
I didn't agree to that.
Yeah, until John gets here. So basically, guys, really good news. John is coming to Australia to visit us, just us. And whilst he's here, we are going to go camping. All three of us for the first time in what must be 9 years, all three of us together, are going to the cinema together. The last film I think we all went to the cinema together to see was Man of Steel. No joke. I was thinking about it the other day. That was like 9 years ago. So we are not going to be reviewing The Batman straight away. We apologize for that, but we want to bring you the most excited and fun experience, which is us guys watching it together and then having some beers after and reviewing the film. So that'll be out in about maybe a week or two, maybe a week and a half, 2 weeks after The Batman is released. That gives a lot of you plenty of time to see it, and it gives us time to then, you know, do a full spoiler cast where we can talk about everything in the film and what we think. But early impressions seem very good. And I am very, very excited.
Yeah, I mean, look, I'm not one to sort of go into things with too high expectations where possible, but it's kind of getting hard not to with this. The noise around it is exceptionally positive.
The buzz is
loud. And I'm trying to stop reading stuff about it now because I don't want to be disappointed.
Yeah, I'm not going to read anything else from now on. I saw initial reviews and some Twitter thoughts, and I'm leaving it at that. But yeah, that's in a few weeks, guys. So keep an eye out for that one. Thank you to everyone for your fantastic support on Patreon. You can sponsor us by going to patreon.com/fancritical. If you want us to cover a lot of these shows throughout the year and films, any financial donations make a huge difference and enable us to do that.
To buy popcorn.
This is not our full-time job.
And chocolate.
Buy popcorn and chocolate, which I mix together. It forms a beautiful...
All right, quick test for you.
Sugary mess.
I know that's your cinema tradition. What's my cinema tradition?
Oh, you're really fucking boring. You get like ice cream.
Do you get ice cream? Boring. Correct. Well done.
It's just boring though, isn't it?
Well, it's not boring.
Anyway.
It's lovely. Anyway.
Anyway. Thank you, listeners. Patreon.com/fancritical. Please do like, share, and review the podcast if you can get time to do so. We value any feedback, good or bad, but please do let it only be good. Thank you, Gareth, for joining me today in this look into the future.
Where we go back to the shows of the future.
Shows of the future. That's right. Thanks, Gaz. Catch you on the next one. I'll see you in the cinema, mate, after our cuddle session. We'll be right back.
apply. To your credit card rewards, greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.